Okay, great. Well, thank you, Liam. I mean, I was saying it's so great, wonderful to meet you in person, having be our project officer from some of our earlier grants. And also, I'm just very pleased to be with this panel of presenters and all of you this afternoon who managed to navigate your way to this session. I just came from a luncheon on climate change, and it was, you know, while very serious concern, its impacts today make one definitely want to be outside. So I really appreciate your taking the time to be here with us. So I'll be talking about fostering collaborations with adult basic education programs to advance environmental health literacy. And I'll focus on asthma education, but the approach is of course relevant to many other topics of public health. And I want to have to say I have no conflicts to disclose. To begin with, I would like to ask you though, just for a little show of hands to get to know a sense, how many of you have run or been involved with a public health outreach campaign for the public? Just curious. Oh, great. So there's a lot to be learned from each other too in the room. And I just want to, so the central information I want to convey across this presentation is on the next slide. Oh. So if you're having some trouble understanding it, maybe it might help to translate it into English. But then again, maybe not. So perhaps we've all attended some conferences or classes where presentations did all seem Greek to us. For more than 40% of U.S. adults, basic literacy is an issue. Literacy skills provide the foundation for making good decisions regarding health. The Affordable Care Act defines health literacy as the degree to which an individual has the capacity to obtain, communicate, process, and understand basic health information and services to make appropriate health decisions. Yet, you know, in my view, health literacy can be much more than that and does not just fall on the capacity of the individual. It can entail the capacity of health systems and complex social determinants of health, such as poverty and quality of education and many others. Still, working within that basic definition, we can start to consider what is coming to be termed environmental health literacy. And certainly, if a person has limited literacy and or proficiency in English, they have limited access to information necessary to understand and act upon environmental exposures that affect their health and the health of their families. So let's consider how this impacts the problem of asthma. According to a National Health Interview survey conducted in 2012, over 18 million adults and almost 7 million children in the U.S. suffer from asthma. And as many of you know, asthma disproportionately affects certain socioeconomic, ethnic, and racial groups that also suffer disparities in access to information and access to care. Environmental conditions are also among the social determinants of health that play an important role in asthma. Exposure to factors that trigger asthma are greater in homes, occupational, school, and community environments where high-risk populations work, live, and study. A growing body of evidence is also showing that not only may several factors such as mold, pests, and toxic chemical exposures exacerbate asthma and trigger an asthma attack, they may even be causal factors for asthma. By understanding these factors, individuals and communities can take action to address asthma-related health disparities. Yet, language, literacy, and access to information form barriers to environmental health literacy and therefore hamper self-management of asthma for patients and engagement in advocacy to improve conditions. A 2012 study reported in the Journal of Asthma documented the impact of health literacy and socioeconomic status on asthma disparities and concluded that health literacy appears to be an important overlooked factor explaining racial and ethnic disparities. Poor asthma care measures among children have also been shown to be associated with low parental literacy. So an important opportunity, though, lies in programs already serving our communities across the nation. Adult Basic Education, ABE, and English for Speakers of Other Language, ESOL classrooms, serve over 2 million learners a year. This extensive network of existing adult education programs offered by public schools, community colleges, trade unions, libraries, as well as faith-based and other community-based organizations can be leveraged to promote health literacy. Adult education programs therefore constitute a highly efficient yet underutilized resource for reducing asthma disparities by reaching and building the capacity of populations that have less access to formal education and are at higher risk of environmental exposures that contribute to asthma, supporting them to take action to avoid and reduce triggers. As public health practitioners, we often create a pamphlet, or maybe if we are fortunate to have enough resources, create or distribute a video to foster health education lessons. Yet, I think many of you know, more intensive instruction is often needed. ABE ESOL classes offer in-depth instruction by a teacher skilled at conveying information to low literate and or limited English proficient students. Adult ed programs provide classes, tutoring, and supportive environments for adults to improve their speaking, listening, reading, and writing skills. They employ a learner-focused, active learning approach that fosters greater internalization, deeper understanding, and more likely application of the information provided than is often the case with just traditional environmental education methodologies. So adult education programs are also oriented towards fostering life skills that help students meet their responsibilities as parents, family members, citizens, community members, and workers. Adult education programs are therefore interested in content that is relevant to their students' lives and promotes core skills. Environmental health offers rich content to develop reading, writing, math, and analytical skills, as well as self-efficiency, civic leadership, and other core competency. So what we did, our team at the nonprofit JSI Research and Training Center worked collaboratively with adult education and health literacy experts from our sister organization called World Education Inc. And World Ed develops and disseminates evidence-based literacy resources and information to adult education programs and practitioners across the country. So we developed three lessons on asthma in healthy homes designed for learners enrolled in adult education classes, and that includes adult basic education for eighth grade and lower, adult secondary education, which is ninth grade and above, including high school equivalency preparation, English for speakers of other language, and family literacy programs that involve children and parents and caregivers. So each lesson format included an introduction to the topic and a warm-up activity, class and small group activities, student worksheets with reading activities, vocabulary practice, reading comprehension and writing about asthma, and then there are take-home activities and expectations to report back to the class. So I'll describe those a little more. We piloted the lessons in multiple classrooms at two sites, one in Vermont and another in Massachusetts, with 17 learners in total. And students were provided with tools and strategies to identify and take action to reduce asthma trigger factors in their homes. Materials were developed are scientifically accurate, linguistically and culturally appropriate, and tailored to address the needs and interests of adult learners. And content was drawn from educational material, some of which was developed by JSI and tested, but also included print, video, and web-based resources available from the Environmental Protection Agency and the online network Communities in Action for Asthma-Friendly Environments. So the first lesson, in terms of the content, drew on the National Asthma Education and Prevention Program for an overview of what is asthma, information about the condition, how to recognize symptoms, and how you can control asthma and lead a healthy, active life working with a health provider. Lesson two then focused on environmental trigger factors, exploring how the different factors in the environment can trigger an asthma attack. And learners are taught to use a low literacy home assessment checklist that JSI developed. And the checklist is used as a take-home activity for learners to conduct an assessment of their home or a home of a friend or relative to identify the asthma triggers that they studied in class, including dust mites, pests, pets, mold, secondhand smoke, and chemical irritants. In the third lesson, taking action, people would come back to the classrooms and report back on what trigger factors they had found in their homes. And then they discussed and learned about some actions you can take that were low cost and could have an immediate impact, like removing throw rugs, using safe, effective cleaning, and integrated pest management techniques. And so then that had a homework activity as well to take some of those actions to address trigger factors and report that back to the group. And an additional classroom and take-home activities promoted leadership development and community engagement by challenging the students to work individually or in groups to share asthma education and trigger education reduction activities with other classes, with family members, or out in their community, such as at health fairs, tenant meetings, faith-based or school events. And, you know, we focused on key messages, emphasizing self-management, and as I say, the simple actions that could be taken, incorporating some skills and assessments in the home. So the style of the lessons, in addition to the content, the style was also very important. I just want to stress that with you, because while it's a very exciting opportunity to work with ABE programs, you have to do it in a way that's going to be a successful partnership with them. And so you can't just develop health outreach content. You have to create lessons that meet the format and the needs of classes. So our lessons include classroom activities and take-home assignments in the context of developing basic skills in reading, writing, speaking, and research. They're structured around asthma education for adult education learners and are aligned with and incorporate principles of adult learning theory. So lessons were guided by ABE, ESOL programs and teachers. They were tailored to the learners' literacy levels. They address the learning needs and standards. For those of you who've worked with, you know, the secondary schools, it's similar. They have strong standards they have to meet and types of objectives. And they use varied modalities for different learning styles, such as videos, reading, worksheets, discussions. They have action-oriented activities. And we also made sure to gather and help them use clear tools and resources and prepared teacher guidance. So we field tested these with the 72 students, and the results of the pre and post tests in the field showed improvements. In this slide, one can see correct identification of symptoms improved among 6% of students from 47% to 53%, and 16% improved their ability to correctly list asthma trigger factors from 42 to 58%, which was the greater emphasis of the lessons. One of the learners, I would quote here, saying, "I learned a lot about asthma. I had no idea that bleach, pillows, cold could cause asthma, and will share this knowledge." We were also pleased to see that knowledge of how to take action showed improvement, with a 10% increase for how to control mold from 45% to 55%, and a full 24% increase in the area students knew least about prior to lessons, how to address pest problems, increasing from 38% to 62%. While this is a modest project and evaluation, these findings do align with larger studies of the effectiveness of integrating health literacy into adult education to improve health outcomes. For example, a randomized trial by Levy et al. Of a health curriculum developed and delivered in adult literacy education classrooms that focused on skills such as interpreting medication instructions and communicating with healthcare providers found significant increases among adult learners in health knowledge and self-efficacy. Our colleagues at World Education had also done an earlier breast and cervical cancer lessons and found increased knowledge about breast and cervical cancer prevention, including awareness of environmental factors and intention to obtain screening due to implementation of that CDC-funded curricula. So here's another comment from a learner on our lessons noting, it was very helpful and I didn't know mold could trigger asthma, so the lessons helped. We also received comments and suggestions from learners and teachers to improve the lessons and are incorporating those edits. We plan to have revised lessons by February. In the meanwhile, the initial lessons can be downloaded. I don't know how you get the APHA handouts, but they were uploaded there. I brought a couple. So from APHA, or they're on our website, jsi.com. And on behalf of my fellow authors, Gretchen Latowski, who served as project director, and Rona Julian, our project officer at EPA, we'd like to thank the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for providing funding, Notre Dame Education Center in Lawrence for providing consultation, and our pilot sites at the Tutorial Center in Bennington, Vermont, and Operation Bootstrap in Lynn, Mass. So with that, you know, I'd be happy to be in touch with you with any questions you may have on collaborations with adult education programs, materials development, or broader initiatives and systems changes to advance health literacy. And here's my contact information, and I look forward to learning from my fellow presenters.
Do we have any questions for Terry? Yes.
Yes. Well, I know we're going to have a presentation on working with youth, and so other outreach projects we've done, and the one Liam funded in Lawrence, Mass., which is like over 90% of the students in the high school are Latino. The Casa de Salud model wasn't in adult ed, but it was training promotores to talk in churches and public housing and daycare and all sorts of settings about a range of environmental health issues. And that was one of the outcomes of that project was we were talking about mercury, and it speaks to going to the community, because we were talking about mercury in fish, and they said, well, what about sprinkling mercury on cribs? Because they would buy capsules in the Botanica and use it as a ritual practice to ward off evil spirits. And we, you know, had no idea that none of the environmental agencies were aware this was going on. So that led to getting rid of those in the Botanicas and more education. But certainly the, in terms of, you know, there are a number of projects, but also John speaking about working with youth, and we have worked on youth in Boston on air quality and asthma, and that's, I don't know if you're aware, the environmental justice group for a cleaner environment, and they have a youth program, Roxbury Environmental Empowerment Project, and they did so many wonderful things to address outdoor pollution, from hanging flags with the air quality days, going out to schools and having the youth leaders speak to other classes and do their own projects around air quality and asthma. If you see, your states probably have anti-idling signs. That's largely, I think, these youth, because they found an old 1978 law and made sure it was enforced in Massachusetts, and that got picked up at other places. So, yeah, I'd say they really, you know, making sure that the people affected have the information can lead to community-wide and change.
Other questions? All right. Well, we'll save them for the rest of the panel. Terry, thank you very much.